Welcome to our collective nightmare, where the American dream takes a nosedive into the absurd. Today's tale of woe unfolds in Washington, Utah, a place that sounds as mundane as it gets, but oh boy, does it deliver on the chaos front. Meet Tyler Robinson, your average all-American kid with a 4.0 GPA and a scholarship to Utah State University, because nothing screams future unhinged gunmen like academic excellence and merit-based rewards. But then life happened, or maybe it was just America, and Tyler went from aspiring engineer to alleged political assassin. Yes, folks, this once promising youth allegedly climbed onto a rooftop and shot conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Why? Well, if you're looking for logic in this mess, good luck. Authorities found bullet casings engraved with anti-fascist slogans and video game memes, because apparently that's how we communicate our deepest convictions now. Governor Spencer Cox said one bullet's message speaks for itself. Sure, Spencer. If by itself you mean an incoherent scream into the void of our broken society, Tyler was described as quiet and shy, a guy who didn't speak unless spoken to. His political views were so ambiguous that even his neighbors couldn't decide if he leaned left or right. But what do you expect when politics is more about tribal warfare than actual beliefs? His family turned him in after recognizing him in FBI photos, because nothing says family values like handing over your son to the authorities when he becomes America's latest headline nightmare. In the end, we're left with another tragic story of potential gone awry, amidst a backdrop of memes and online trolling. A young man lost between worlds, academia and violence, reality and virtual chaos, sanity and whatever we call this nation's current state. So here we are again, a country where gun violence blends seamlessly with social media satire while everyone scratches their heads wondering how things got so out of hand. The answer? Look around, it's all part of our collective nightmare.
A first world problems, where we take a moment to collectively sigh about the trials and tribulations of the privileged. Today, we're diving into a real nail-biter. The saga of Taylor Swift's deposition in a lawsuit involving Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. That's right, folks. It's not just any lawsuit. It's one that has absolutely nothing to do with T-Swift herself. Apparently, Baldoni's legal team is desperate for an audience with the pop icon. Why? Because her name popped up in some text messages. I mean, who hasn't dropped a celebrity name in casual conversation to spice things up? But here we are, trying to drag Taylor Swift into court like she's got some insider knowledge on what exactly the nuances of a script she never even saw. The judge denied Baldoni's request for more time to schedule this deposition. They wanted until October 2025 because apparently Swift is just too busy. You know how it is, those album releases don't promote themselves. And let's be honest, if you're planning your legal strategy around someone who's booked solid for 2 years straight, maybe it's time to rethink your approach. Swift's camp has made it clear. She had zero involvement with this film beyond licensing one song. But hey, why let facts get in the way when you can use her name for media attention? It's like saying you have dinner plans with Beyoncé because you once stood next to her cardboard cutout at Madame Tussauds. Meanwhile, Lively's attorneys accuse Baldoni's team of using Swift as clickbait, a claim so shocking it might actually make you spill your artisanal cold brew all over your limited edition vinyl collection. In conclusion, while some people worry about trivial matters like climate change or world hunger, others are losing sleep over whether Taylor Swift will be available for questioning about something she knows nothing about. Ah yes, first world problems at their finest. A reminder that sometimes our biggest issues are no bigger than our Wi-Fi going out during a Netflix binge. And there you have it. Another day in paradise where even our lawsuits come with celebrity guest appearances, or at least attempts thereof.
Ah, the sweet aroma of progress. In a world where justice is served at the speed of molasses, we find ourselves in Costa Rica, where authorities are conducting their second raid on a hotel, 6 months after young Miller Gardner's tragic demise due to carbon monoxide poisoning. One might think that such a grave incident would ignite an urgent response. But alas, urgency seems to be as elusive as common sense in this dystopian tapestry. The Capos and Perita prosecutor's office has finally decided it's time to gather some evidence. Not just any evidence, mind you, documentary and digital evidence. Because surely, 6 months later, those pixels will still hold all the secrets they need to crack this case wide open. The first raid back in March gave us hazardous atmosphere measurements, a delightful confirmation that carbon monoxide was indeed present. Shocking revelation. Now there, on a quest for more evidence to determine if this was involuntary manslaughter, a breach of duty of care. But don't fret, no suspects have been identified yet. It's comforting to know that accountability remains as slippery as ever, while families grieve and hotels continue business as usual. Meanwhile, CNN is diligently seeking comments from everyone who might offer a soundbite. The hotel, Brett Gardner's former team, because what better way to solve a mystery than by engaging in public relations? As we inch closer towards societal collapse with each passing day, let's take solace in knowing that bureaucracy will always be there to cushion our fall with its inefficiency and impeccable timing. So here's your daily dose of dystopia. A grieving family waits for answers while investigators shuffle through paperwork and emails long past their expiration date. All under the watchful eye of an indifferent world that's become far too comfortable with tragedy dressed up as routine procedure.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the cosmic absurdity of human ambition and the endless quest for meaning in a universe that seems largely indifferent. Today, we're diving into an article from CNN titled, "Two Billionaires Have Very Different and Equally Wild Visions of a Future in Space. Is Either Possible?" which examines the celestial aspirations of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, two men who are not letting their staggering wealth get in the way of dreaming even bigger. Imagine, if you will, standing on Mars or floating in an O'Neill colony, pondering how far humanity has come from its humble beginnings as hunter-gatherers. Yes, we've evolved from worrying about saber-toothed cats to contemplating whether terraforming another planet is feasible. And why wouldn't it be? After all, if we can binge-watch entire seasons of TV shows without moving from our couches, surely living on Mars can't be that much harder. Elon Musk dreams of making Mars habitable through a process called terraforming, essentially turning the red planet into a second Earth by engineering its atmosphere. It's like trying to turn your garage into a guest room, but with more radiation and fewer parking spaces. Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos envisions giant spinning space stations where humans can live, work, and presumably still complain about their Wi-Fi connection. Both billionaires argue that these off-world colonies are necessary life insurance policies for humanity, a sort of cosmic backup plan should Earth become uninhabitable due to climate change or other catastrophes. Because nothing says responsible planning quite like betting billions on relocating to places where your blood might boil if you step outside without a suit. But let's pause for a moment to consider. If humans ever do establish these space utopias, what kind of society will they reflect? Will they be egalitarian paradises, or merely extensions of our current social structures with added zero-gravity complications? Phil Metzger from the University of Central Florida suggests that without careful regulation, we might end up with power concentrated in the hands of those who own space industries, a scenario where wealth disparity could reach astronomical levels, pun intended. Picture it, billionaires wielding control over entire planets, while the rest of us debate whether pineapple belongs on pizza back on Earth. And then there's Alice Gorman's point about ethical considerations. Should we really be focusing so much energy on colonizing other planets when our own is still grappling with issues like climate change? It's akin to buying new furniture while your house is on fire because you think it'll look great in your next home. Ultimately, both Musk's Martian settlements and Bezos' orbital habitats highlight humanity's relentless pursuit to transcend earthly limitations, even if it means confronting existential dilemmas along the way. As we gaze at stars billions of light years away through telescopes built by some guy named Carl down at NASA, or perhaps just streamed online, we're reminded that life cannot simply be about solving one tragic problem after another. There must also exist reasons compelling enough for us all collectively get out bed each morning, assuming gravity hasn't been outsourced yet. So here's to hoping these grandiose visions inspire more than just technological marvels, but also foster deeper reflections upon what truly matters amidst vastness stretching beyond comprehension. The eternal question being, not only can we, but perhaps more importantly, should we?
In the feverish pursuit of profit, WrestleMania 43 will abandon its traditional North American roots for the gilded sands of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This announcement is not merely an expansion. It is a testament to capitalism's insatiable appetite, where even the most cherished spectacles are pawns in a game played by those with deep pockets and shallow consciences. The WWE-Saudi partnership, forged in 2018 amidst global outcry over human rights abuses, has matured into a grotesque alliance that prioritizes financial gain over moral integrity. What began as annual premium live events has now escalated to hosting one of wrestling's crown jewels, WrestleMania itself, in a land where freedom is but an illusion cloaked in opulence. Critics have long decried this unholy union, citing Saudi Arabia's dismal record on women's rights and LGBTQ issues. Yet these voices are drowned out by the clinking of coins and promises of grandeur. The murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi may have sparked temporary outrage, but like all things inconvenient to profit margins, it was swiftly brushed aside. The kingdom's sports washing strategy, a calculated distraction from its atrocities, continues unabated. As the ink dries on contracts promising exorbitant sums to lure legends like The Rock and Stone Cold back into the ring, one cannot help but marvel at the absurdity. Icons who once stood for rebellion and authenticity are now summoned by cash-heavy sirens singing songs of retirement fund security. This spectacle serves as both entertainment and indictment, a reflection of society's willingness to overlook inconvenient truths when dazzled by pyrotechnics and celebrity appearances. WrestleMania 43 will likely be hailed as a triumph by those who equate success with balance sheets rather than ethical standards. Meanwhile, Las Vegas prepares for its own WrestleMania encore in 2026 after New Orleans was unceremoniously cast aside, another casualty in this relentless quest for revenue maximization. As each city becomes interchangeable under capitalism's ruthless gaze, we witness yet another symptom of systemic collapse: community replaced by commerce, tradition sacrificed at the altar of expediency. In this capitalist fever dream, where reality bends to wealth's whims, nothing remains sacred, not even our heroes nor their stages, and certainly not our collective conscience.